To all the mothers out there, thank you so much. I just feel like we ought to say thank you. To all the moms out here, thank you so much for what you mean to us and for your contribution. We got lots of mothers and grandmothers here, and you are a blessing to our lives, and we just honor you and we thank you today for what you mean to all of us. Mother's Day is a day filled with mixed emotion. For some of us, Mother's Day is a day of great joy and celebration. For others of you, Mother's Day is a day of sorrow because your mother's no longer with you. And you remember her with great fondness. For some of you, Mother's Day is frustrating because your mother was not the mother you wished she would have been. But today, for the mothers that are here, we honor who you are and what you're doing because you're here. You've come to the assembly of God's people. And you're showing that you have a heart not only for your family, but for your God. And for that, we're thankful that you're here today. And so we do honor you. We honor the mothers of this church, the mothers of our families. I read a post from a preacher this morning, a friend of mine, that said, one of the sacrifices of being a preacher is that you never get to spend Mother's Day with your mom. And sometimes that's true. I've gotten to spend Mother's Day with my mom several times when she's come to visit, but that's often the case. So for some of you, you're not able to be with your mom today, like me. But we honor, whether near or far, our mothers. And we're thankful for who you are and what you do. Today we're going to be thinking about mothers, kind of. Because when you think about moms, our mamas, our mothers, the love that exists between a mother and a child, I would suggest is probably one of the strongest bonds, some of the strongest love known to humanity. Even those rough and tough and gruff men that are dodging bullets in the foxholes of the battlefields, when they're injured, they cry for mom because that bond is so strong. But as strong as the bond is between mother and child, I want you to know this morning there is a bond, there is a love that is even stronger. This morning I want to talk to you about a mother that never forgets, and our lesson text is found from what was read earlier, and so if you've got your Bible, you got to see this. I want you to turn in your own Bible to Isaiah chapter 49, verses 14 through 16. Those are the three verses we're going to focus in on this morning, but we need to kind of get the context of what's going on in this chapter. In the book of Isaiah, the prophet, several times in this book, talks about a mysterious figure called the servant of the Lord. The servant of the Lord would be the hope of Israel, because Israel, at present, doesn't have a lot of hope. Because you see, the nation of Israel is in exile in a foreign land. Their hopes, their dreams have been stripped from them. They're despondent, they're discouraged, they're hopeless, or so it seems. But the prophet Isaiah has a message of hope. There's a servant of the Lord that is coming. This figure, this servant, will be your salvation. He's going to bring salvation to God's people, but he's going to bring it in three different ways. That salvation that he will bring is a salvation that is soon. It is a salvation that also will come later. And finally, it's a salvation that will come in its ultimate form in the final day. First, the salvation will come soon. He's giving hope in this chapter of how the servant of the Lord is going to bring hope. That Israel's exile in that foreign land is not going to last forever. That God is going to send salvation. And they're going to get to come home. They're going to get to return and be restored to their homeland, the place they long to be. But not only that, This salvation that the Lord is going to provide is a salvation that will come later. He says in verse number 6, I will make you a light for the nations that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. He says, you know, not only am I going to give salvation by restoring and establishing your land, which we see in verse number 8, I will give you the covenant of my people, I will give you and establish the land back to you. But you know what? This salvation is going to happen later too, because it's going to be something that's not just for you, a hope not just for Israel, but a hope that will permeate and spread to the ends of the earth, to the verse 12, the north, the west, as far south as the land of Cyrene, and also to the east where they presently are. But it's a salvation that will be ultimate as well, because there's a day coming when even the mountains will burst into song at the coming of the Lord. Verse number 13, they will sing for joy. So the servant of the Lord is going to bring salvation soon, later, and ultimately. But you know what happens in verse number 14? What Zion says? Now the word Zion here was a little mountain where the temple had been located in the homeland of Israel in Jerusalem. But the word Zion came to represent not just that little mountain where the temple had been. And by the way, the temple currently, while Isaiah writes, has been destroyed. The city walls have been destroyed. It's been leveled. There's nothing left. But Zion not only represents that mountain to which they long to return, but Zion represents really a word that is descriptive of God's people. And so what does Zion say? What does God's people say? God's people say, in the midst of Isaiah saying, listen, the servant of the Lord's bringing salvation. Hope is coming. It's coming soon. You're going to be established back to the land. But not only that, it's coming later. It's going to be a hope for all the peoples of the ends of the earth. And it's going to be something that ultimately comes when the mountains sing for joy. And Zion says skeptically, okay, but what about right now? What about right now? Because as Isaiah writes, there is no temple. There is no Jerusalem. It's in ruins. And in the midst of their struggle, in the midst of their suffering, in their exile, they say, Zion says, what we say many times in the midst of the trials of our lives. We can know intellectually, I have faith in God. I have faith in the Bible and the promises of the Bible. I know Jesus is going to return. I know heaven is real. I know that in my mind. But in the midst of struggle and suffering, our hearts cry out and say, but I don't feel loved right now. What about right now? Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever wondered in the wee hours of the night, in the midst of the times when the shadows have grown long and the struggles of life have made you weary? Does God really love me? Zion says in verse 14, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. You know, it's as I said, it's possible to believe things in your mind and not let those things affect your heart. Not let those things affect the way you live your life. And that's the trap Zion fell into in her suffering. And that's the trap sometimes we fall into if we're honest. I don't feel loved. God, what about right now? And so God gives us an amazing picture. A beautiful metaphor of how God says, listen, don't doubt my love for you. Here is what my love for you is like. Look at verse 15. Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. In this verse, God shows how that His love is both like and unlike the love, that strong bond that exists between a mother and her nursing infant. perhaps the strongest bond of love known to humanity. Can a woman forget her nursing child, he asked in verse 15. Nursing mothers can't forget. Now, why can't they forget? They can't forget for several reasons. Number one, a nursing mother who brings her child to her breast and that child drinks from that milk and depends upon that mother for its very life. A nursing mother can't forget that because of the physical bond that exists. What I'm about to share with you, I had no idea about any of this until when Ryder was getting ready to make his grand appearance upon this planet, and then when Erilyn, too, was going to make her appearance. Those of you that are my age and perhaps a little older and even younger know this, that you have to go to birthing classes, or at least you're supposed to. I would recommend it because it will help dull the shock. So we go to the birthing classes, and I learn a lot of things I didn't know about mothers. I learned that there are some hormones. I knew that there were hormones in you female bodies, but I didn't know about these. There's a hormone that a mother has, particularly whenever she is expecting child. A hormone called prolactin. And that hormone is what causes a mother's body to produce milk. And that prolactin is in the body and it's making that milk occur so that a mother cannot forget, because literally when the milk comes in, the mother feels a physical urge to have to nurse. And so she's on a strict schedule. She can't be too far away from that child for too long. She has to nurse the child, so she physically cannot forget. But secondly, she emotionally can't forget. There's another hormone called oxytocin, which is a hormone in a mother's body that when she nurses a child, it releases her body releases this hormone, this chemical in her body that makes her feel these feelings of euphoria, these feelings of extreme delight and contentment. And so God placed those hormones in a woman's body so that she physically can't forget that nursing child. She emotionally can't forget that nursing child, but then also she can't forget because that love is unconditional. As strong as a bond is between a husband and wife in marriage it is give and take. You got to give and you got to take if you're going to make that marriage work. Well, you know what? The bond between a mother and an infant is a give and take also. The mother gives everything and the infant takes everything. Because that child offers nothing. And the mother has to give everything. She has to give all of her time. She has to make immense sacrifices. Regardless of what that child does, her love is unconditional. A nursing mother cannot forget her child, Isaiah says. But listen to what God says in the second part of the verse. Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Whether we'd like to think about it or not, there are some mothers who do forget their children. There are those mothers out there in the world that abandon their children, that don't love their children, that do forget their children. And even good mothers, we lose them, don't we? The time comes when our mothers pass away and leave our lives. So a mother's love sometimes ends. But God says, even though these may forget, God says, I will not forget you. What is God saying? God is saying, as strong as the bond is between a mother and her nursing child, a mother's love, as strong and as unforgettable as that is, nothing compares to my love for you. God says, they may forget, but I will not forget you. Think about how much love you have for your mother. How much love your mother had for you. Think about how much love you have for your children, mothers. God's love, that love is just a spark. It's a fraction. It's just a little dim reflection of the immense love that God has for His children. But you know, it's easy to say you love somebody. Talk of love is not enough. What we need is action. You know, as demanding as an infant child is, and they offer nothing, and yet mothers give everything, it becomes even more challenging to give to children when they start talking. Because those children start demanding everything, and they think that you exist, Mom. Your reason for living on this planet is to meet that child's every demand. That's what they think. And it becomes tough. And children don't understand sometimes just how many sacrifices you're making for them. You see, talk of love is not enough. What we need is action. We need to see that. And Zion says, God, you've forgotten me. They want to know, God, we know intellectually you love us, but where is it? I don't feel it. I want to know it. I want to experience it. I want to be sure about it. I need to see it. Verse 16, God says, His love is not just talk. It's action. Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands, and your walls are continually before me. The sacrifices of mom are countless for children. And yet children think sometimes, Mom doesn't do anything for me. Because children many times cannot see, for whatever reason, they cannot see all of the invisible to them sacrifices that Mom has been making, continues to make, and has made over and over again, night and day, for the well-being of that child. God says, I've engraved you on the palm of my hands. Here's what's interesting. He says, my love for you is so great that it is imprinted on my hands. Now, here's what's interesting is sometimes in ancient times, in slave and slave-master relationships, a slave owner would take his servant and tattoo an imprint or his name on the hands of that servant, so that anybody that saw the servant knows where that servant belongs. But here's what was unheard of. You never, ever saw a master engrave the name of his servant on his hands or tattoo the name of his servant on his hands. But here's what's interesting is God says here, I didn't just tattoo or mark or write your name on my hands. He uses a word here that means to chisel, like to chisel stone from a rock, to use some writing utensil or a spike. God has demonstrated His love for you. It's not just talk. A nursing mother may forget. God says, I will never forget. And those are not empty words. Let this sink in. God is not all talk. He is action. And the action of His love, He describes with a grotesque image, at first it seems, of a spike through the hand. In the upper room, the apostles are assembled, and they're talking about how they've seen the risen Jesus. Thomas had not been there, but he was now, and he doubted. And Jesus appears, and he says to Thomas, and he says to you, "Look at my hands and see how much love I have for you." Some of you are sitting there today, and it's hard for you to be here on Mother's Day because you've not had parents that have been the kind of parents you wish they had been. In Psalm 27, listen to what God says. Psalm 27 and verse number 10. "For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in." Your physical parents may have forsaken you, but I want you to know here this morning that God never will. A nursing mother may forget, but God says, "I will not forget because you are engraved with a spike through the palms of my hands. See the love that I have for you." Mothers will move heaven and earth to see their children flourish. And God is saying, "See how much more love I have for you. I want you to flourish. I want what is best for you. Do you see how much? Jesus gave His life for you because He loves you. Because God loves you. And He begs you to come be a part of His family. If you're not a child of God through your belief, confession, repentance, and baptism, let's sit down and let's talk about that. Let's have a conversation. Let's open the Bible and let you see even deeper the love that God has for you and what He requires of you. If I can help you with that, talk to me after the service. Let's set up a personal study. If you need prayers of encouragement, we'll have shepherds of the flock both here up front and some privately behind those double doors in the hallway. If you need prayer, don't delay. If we can help you, make your need known by coming forward or by going to one of these avenues as we stand together and as we sing.